The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So today I felt inspired to talk about a skillful response to the world, to all that is happening in the world, which is a lot. Ever since the dawn of humanity, basically, there has been adversary and challenges in many different forms, like personal adversary and challenges, like maybe health issues and interpersonal conflicts and attacks and abuse and all these kind of things. Also issues between groups, tribes, countries, and also natural disasters, floods, fires, hurricanes, other natural disasters. And it seems like this has been intensified too over the last decades, especially with the addition of climate change. But nonetheless, there always has been some adversary, some challenges going on in the world. Also, at the time of the Buddha, for example. And many religions have ways of how they teach to deal with these challenges. And this constant change and the potential of more challenges. And there are, most religions have some way of cultivating skillfulness, cultivating wholesomeness, and to not add to all the difficulty and the challenges that are already present in the world and in personal lives. And so also Buddhism has many teachings to help us respond in a skillful and wholesome way to any adversary or challenges that might occur in the world and in our personal lives. And in the world, there's so much going on now that I don't even want to name it all because it's so depressing. but I just want to kind of explore some of those teachings in Buddhism that can help us to look at it and help us to see maybe how a skillful response might be possible. Maybe it can help us to gain some insight in how to deal with all that is happening. And all that might be happening in the future, the nature of the world seems to be that these challenges come up. And so the core of the teachings in Buddhism are related to these dealing with these challenges, whether it's in the bigger world or in our personal lives. Is the teaching around the three unwholesome roots of existence, greed, hatred, and delusion. And they are also called three defilements, which is a translation of the word kilesa. And defilements sounds maybe not such a nice word in English, but I'll use it anyway just because it's kind of the usual translation. I know, for example, that Steve Armstrong, he translates it as torments of the mind, which I like as well. And kilesa could also be just, I know, Carol Wilson uses just kilesa because it's such a difficult word to translate. And so all unwholesomeness, all unskillfulness comes out of these three roots. And these three roots, there are also Pali words for these three roots, which are for greed, it's lobha. For hatred or aversion, it's dosa. And for delusion, it's moha. So lobha, dosa, moha. And in Pali, these words mean way more than these English translations. So lobha, so what usually translated as greed or craving, means everything from the mildest kind of wanting that might happen to intense craving and attachment. And dosa, which is usually translated as hatred or aversion, is everything from the tiniest little bit of annoyance to like the most intense hate that you can imagine. And then the moha, the delusion, that's often translated as delusion, is about this not knowing, this not seeing clearly, not seeing the real nature of reality. And also about not seeing what is wholesome and what is unwholesome, and what leads to wholesomeness and what leads to unwholesomeness, kind of a confusion around that. And so the goal in Buddhism is to become free of those three unwholesome roots of existence: greed, the aversion, the delusion, and all of their relatives, so to speak. And what happens when we are free from these three unwholesome roots of existence, and this can happen maybe sometimes temporarily for a few moments, is that we naturally respond with the four Brahma Vihara to whatever occurs in life, the four divine abodes or immeasurables. And these are kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity. And so which Brahma Vihara arises in which, when each arises depends on the context. For example, kindness might arise in just a general social situation. Compassion arises when some form of suffering is present, some form of challenge. Joy arises, or sympathetic joy, when things are good for others or ourselves. And then equanimity, when there's some balance needed, a balance between getting sucked into the suffering on the one hand, and kind of an over-exuberance that might happen on the other hand, or an attachment to the goodness. And so that might be kind of a high bar to always respond with these wholesome qualities, or in mind, to all that happens in the world and in our lives. Also these very difficult challenges that we're facing in the world right now. But it's kind of a teaching that gives us an indication of which direction we can look at, like if we deal with this difficulty. And the Buddha also has a simile in the suttas that takes this to an extreme. And I want to share it, but just this forewarning about how extreme this simile is. And I don't expect any of you or myself to actually implement this fully that the Buddha is teaching here, because that's just, probably just not happening. But it's just kind of also as a pointer of what might be possible if we walk this path to the end. And so this is the direct quote from the simile of the saw, the Majjhima Nikaya 21. Here the Buddha says, "Even if bandits were to carve you up savagely, limb by limb, with a two-handed saw, those among you who let their heart get angered even at that would not be doing my bidding. Even then you should train yourself. Our minds will be unaffected, and we will say no evil words. We will remain sympathetic with a mind of goodwill and with no inner hate." End quote. So kind of extreme. even if bandits carve us up, we should practice goodwill, a mind full of goodwill towards the bandits. So probably only those beings maybe at the final stage of awakening, or maybe the third stage, can do this. So don't feel like bad if you have some aversion coming up, if you're being carved up or some hate. So that's completely natural. So this is more meant as an kind of an inspiration or even an aspiration. Like, we don't need to be there at that point that we can do that, where the path might end. But we can see for ourselves, where are we on the path? Not to judge, not for being not that far, but to honestly look at what is in the way of responding with kindness or compassion or equanimity or joy in whatever situation there is, depending on the context. So this could be kind of an interesting exploration for yourself. Like, what is in the way of honestly kind of looking at this? Like, what is in the way? Kindness, for kindness to arise, or for compassion to arise? Is there some aversion, some hate coming up? And then be with that, looking at that. And so the caveat here for this teaching is that it's not about not acting at all. Not about being like a doormat, because that could be kind of the impression that we get from this simile. Like, oh, we just sit there and let our limbs be sawed off. That's not what's the intention. There's this story that Sharon Salzberg relates. I think it's in her book on loving kindness. I'm not 100% sure. And it was when she once was in India in this rickshaw on her way to her teacher. And then there was a guy who grabbed her bag and ran off with it. And so she went to her teacher. She finally arrived at her teacher's place, and she told what had just happened. And the teacher said, "With all the metta in your heart, you should have hit that guy with your umbrella." So that's what it's about. We can stand up for ourselves, but with some metta in our hearts, or compassion, or whatever is appropriate, from a place of like patience, equanimity, and maybe even compassion for the guy, because he might be acting out of ignorance, out of like, or desperation to feed his family, or, you know, you don't know. And so the pointing to is not to act from the unskillful states of mind, like the hate or the delusion or the greed. But that's a high bar. And so our path is not to, you know, be there right now, but to aspire, to be, to acknowledge our not being perfect yet. But to see like, oh yeah, that's maybe where we're heading. And so how does this apply to all this adversity that we encounter in the world and also in our personal lives, for some of us? And there's a simple rule of thumb that we can use in any of these situations if we're confronted with whatever happens in the world, or whenever some situation arises in our own lives. And that is to check, like, what is our level of activation? What defilements are present right now? Because just to be honest to ourselves, there's probably going to be some defilements coming up when we think about these difficult things, or when we're being confronted with them. Like, is there any type of greed, aversion, or delusion present, or any of their like relatives? Like, because it's such a wide range, the lobha, dosa, moha in Pali. And so noticing the any of those defilements, these kilesas coming up, means that we're learning and growing. You know, it's just we have not arrived at the destination of our path yet. And part of getting to this destination is to face what is in the way of it. So, and the world, unfortunately, gives us a lot of opportunity to practice this and to learn and to grow. And Sayadaw Uteshaniya says, "When greed, anger, delusion, and all their relatives come on strong, the wisdom you've got may not be sufficient enough to stop them. How do you approach such a situation? The first step is to accept whatever is happening in the mind as it is. Accept that this is just the nature of the mind. Unless you accept, you will be fighting defilements with defilements." End quote. So this is an important point. Even if we don't accept that defilements are going to arise, we are just going to fight defilements with other defilements. We basically have the layering that I was referring to in the meditation, like the aversion towards the pain and the need to name something's very small, and then the aversion to the aversion because we think we need to be a better meditator and not have any aversion towards our knee pain. So then we're fighting the initial aversion towards the knee pain with more aversion. And not to make that wrong, because then we'll fight that again with more defilements. So then we can accept, so we can see at what layer we can start to accept. At what layer can we start to allow? Is it at the layer of the aversion towards the knee pain, or the aversion towards the aversion, or the aversion towards the aversion? Like, at some layer, we will be able to accept, to allow the aversion or the whatever defilement it is that arises. And so these teachings are not about never having any unskillful states of mind, because that's just not realistic. So the most important thing is to acknowledge that there is unskillfulness, and then to learn from it, to maybe even have an intention to learn from whatever arises, to learn from the unwholesomeness, from the anger, the ill will, the sadness, frustration, the powerlessness. And wanting it to be different. And so this recognition and this allowing is kind of the basic step. And if we don't recognize it in the first place, then we can't really change anything. Then we can't grow or learn. And sometimes we might even just, you know, act from these states of minds. That's also just, that's just going to happen. And so also not to make ourselves wrong in those kind of cases. Like, let's say we decide to march for peace, but then we feel a lot of anger in our hearts while we are doing this march. So then there's still a defilement present. And we can work with that. We can learn from that. And then another example might be that someone treated us unjustly, and we might write a resentful email to this person. And then we hit send them, and then we think, oh, this was done out of resentment, not out of a wholesome state of mind. And so we start to learn and grow from these experiences where we also act unskillfully. So it's about seeing clearly what is going on in our minds, but also in our actions and in our speech. Being honest with ourselves. If we're not honest with ourselves, then what is going, yeah, how can we learn and grow? And some years ago, I was really struggling with climate change. And I started to become more and more aware of that feeling of powerlessness around the subject. And also, a lot of anger was coming up, because I was thinking, like, I don't have much kind of power, but the governments around the world have power to do something about it. And in my eyes, they weren't doing enough. So I felt angry with all these governments not doing enough. And I felt very justified to feel like this, because, of course, it's a situation that makes you powerless, and all those governments should be doing more about this. And so there was a lot of unpleasantness arising, and a lot of suffering. And I didn't really see a way out, because I felt like I can't just start accepting it, right? Because it would feel like acquiescence, and acquiescence didn't seem right. So I was feeling into it, and exploring this feeling of anger and powerlessness over and over and over again over the course of like many months. And at some, in some instances, I would feel like, oh, compassion might be the right response. And then sometimes I would even flip from powerlessness and anger to compassion. But then I would flip back to the powerlessness and anger again, and the compassion I wouldn't be able to feel that. And so I felt kind of stuck, kind of like wasn't really going anywhere. And so over the course of these months, observing it, working with it, trying to understand it, at some point, it started to dawn on me that this anger and the powerlessness were actually defilements. They were kilesa. They were rooted in greed, aversion, and delusion. And they were causing the suffering in that moment. And so I realized, like, where in the suttas does the Buddha recommend to holding on to defilements for whatever reason? Like, nowhere. There's never a really good reason to hold on to any defilements. And so there was this insight that by holding on to the defilements of powerlessness and anger, that I was exuding unwholesomeness into the world. And that no one would really benefit from these defilements, not even the climate. The climate was not really helped by me being feeling powerlessness and angry. And so that was kind of an insight for me. And some equanimity and some compassion arose out of that. Some like wisdom that the climate wasn't going to be helped by me holding on to defilements. And like kind of an equanimity arising, expressing itself as kind of this not drowning in the developments anymore, but staying balanced and centered while facing climate change, while letting the truth of climate change still impact me. And then the compassion expressed itself through this feeling of love and care for the world and all the inhabitants of the world. And so the insight did not mean that I would stop, you know, that I stopped acting in a way that supports the climate. I would still, you know, reduce my footprint, recycle, do whatever I could, but not from a place of this powerlessness and anger anymore, but from a genuine care and love and balance. And it felt so different. It's so much more peaceful and free. And so this shift did not happen overnight. And it might, you know, it might not happen overnight for you. For me, that was climate change a few years ago. And there might be, you know, something else that really touches you in your heart. And where, you know, because what happens is these defilements come from being touched, being impacted. We care, right? And that's where it comes from. It's just not the most skillful response, maybe, but it is rooted usually in care and in wanting things to be well and good and safe. And so in order to sometimes make the shift, we need a lot of patience and determination. And sometimes, like it felt for me, like months of no progress, it seemed like just feeling angry and powerlessness. But I think that if we have the patience and the determination to get to the other end, no matter how long it takes, then at some things, at some point things will shift. Some point we might, you know, feel a little shift in the more wholesome direction, a more skillful direction. So it can happen in this very gradual way that we shift little bit by little bit, and then at some point we feel like, oh wait, my relationship to this subject is totally changed. Sometimes it works like that. And sometimes it can be a sudden shift, sudden release, so to speak. And for me, this insight was actually very life-changing, because it made me realize that holding on to defilements is not really the way to go in any situation. So if I can respond to the world from those four Brahma Viharas of loving kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity, that I can contribute based on wholesomeness, instead of on defilements. And so what I often do is I ask myself, is this state of mind or this action or intention based on the defilements or on the Brahmavihara? And if it's based on defilements, then it's very useful information. It's not that I can just poof these defilements away, but I then at least know what I'm, you know, what's going on in the moment. So it's about this investigation of what's going on that helps wisdom to arise. And what I often find out in these investigations is if there's some defilement present, is that there's the belief that something should be different than it is. This person shouldn't have done that, or the government should do more. or, you know, this situation should be like this. Whatever, you know, it is, a should or shouldn'ts are kind of these red flags for me. Sayadaw says, when we can't accept things as they are, we exhaust ourselves with desire for things that are not present, or with desire to push away things that are already here. End quote. So these desires for things to be different, or these shoulds and shouldn'ts, are very interesting to keep an eye out for. They can really be the cause for the equanimity or the compassion to stay away. And then there's another very common way that defilements can get stuck. And that is when we're experiencing attachment to the outcome. So if I'm attached to the climate change to be solved in any way, then I'm going to suffer because I don't have any control over climate change being solved. I can do my best. I can do the, you know, relatively little part that I can do. And unfortunately, no matter how hard the truth is, but the rest I need to let go of, because else I'm going to be the one that's suffering and exuding the defilements of it needs to be different. So the aversion to what's not here. So that can be an inquiry to, is there any attachment to the outcome? The Buddha said, hatred never ceases through hatred. Through love alone does it cease. Which is always a good reminder and a good summary of what I've talked about so far. We can remind ourselves of this phrase, hatred never ceases through hatred. Through love alone does it cease. And hatred here is then that broad spectrum again. And love we can see as wholesomeness in general, at least in how I see this quote. And so working on ourselves to diminish this greed, hatred, and delusion can also be seen as an act of altruism, because most of the adversary challenges that we see in the world comes from the collective effects of these defilements. So it's very wholesome to work towards less and less greed, aversion, and delusion in our own hearts and minds, since that will diminish the overall greed, hate, and delusion in the world. And we become safer for other beings. We become like a safe haven for other beings if we can respond from the four Brahmaviharas. And so we benefit from our own work. Like, we are less swayed by the defilements. And others are benefiting from it too. Because we're, instead of exuding the defilements, we are exuding this love and this kindness and equanimity and compassion. So our work is to keep a check on our own hearts and minds. To keep a check on these three unwholesome roots of existence that will arise at some point in each of our hearts, on a daily basis, probably. And it's, we can see it maybe like climbing a mountain, you know, one step at a time. We don't need to be at the top right away. It's going to be a journey. So we will all experience the unwholesomeness. We will even act on it. So that's not what it's about. It's about how we deal with it. How do we learn and grow from that? Do we take it as an opportunity to grow? I want to end with a quote from Gil Fronsdal about the Buddhist activism. He says, Buddhist activism is neither easy nor fast. It requires strong confidence in the value of ethical behavior. It also requires a strong determination to avoid any activism influenced by greed, hatred, and delusion. It is activism that aims for change, that aims to change the psychological foundation from which unethical behavior arises. Regardless of how idealistic this may seem, it is working to replace fear with generosity, love, wisdom, and the foundation as the foundation of society. So I hope there was something useful in this talk, and you can always let that what's not useful for you behind and take only that what's useful for you.